You're listening to WMIE, Cocoa, Rockledge, Melbourne, and the Beaches, and W272BA, Cocoa Beach, and Vieira.
Welcome to Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. May Holy Spirit guide you into all truth as Sherry sows God's love letter, the Bible, one book at a time, chapter, verse, and line by line. Sherry will also serve you Mystery Moment, Scott's Stuff, and an anointed prayer for healing. And now, here is Sherry Medlock.
God bless you. Thank you, Mr. Announcer Scott Merson, and welcome to Trumpet of Truth. Please open your King James Bibles to the great book of Hebrews, chapter 1, verse 1. Our new book, we just completed the Song of Solomon, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. Before we begin, I want to invite all of you to come here who can every Wednesday at 6 p.m. for the live SoundCloud teaching, Fervent Prayer for America, and then I pray for healing and I pray for each person here. You're also invited to come each Sunday at 5 p.m. for the live radio broadcast taping, internet taping, and SoundCloud teaching. I'm in Suntree, Florida. I'm right beside Scott Merson's The Produce Place. The Produce Place is at the corner of Wickham Road and Bonita Causeway. I'm right there, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, 2565 Sellers Lane, Melbourne, Florida. And every Christian in America, all 50 states, right where you are in your own state, in your own platform, I invite you to join me on Sunday, April 3rd, anytime that day, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise. We want everybody in America, right where you are, to pray and do 2 Chronicles 7:14, and then praise Him, because God inhabits the praises of His people. Now, if any of you preachers out there, all over the world, are television, radio, internet, social media, Christian organizations, right where you are, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you, you might want to let me know. Here's my email, Sherry, S-H-A-R-I, Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, gmail.com. Again, Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, gmail.com. That's G as in God, don't you know? And now, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1. From God's heart to my heart to your heart. The fire and his firebrands. The fire and his firebrands. Now, Hebrew in the Hebrew language is Eber. Guess what it means? Hebrew. Want to speak Hebrew? Say Eber.
Eber.
Okay, now you said Hebrew. Okay, now the children of Israel were not always called Israelites. They were actually called Hebrew, because in Genesis chapter 14, 13, it says Abram, before his name was changed to Abraham, was an Hebrew. And so they were actually called the Hebrew children. And why were they called that? Because when God told Abraham, before his name was changed to Abram, then Abraham, to leave all of his family, to leave Ur of Chaldees and go into the promised land, Abram had to cross the river Euphrates. And when he crossed the river Euphrates, the people on the other side, the Canaanites, called him Eber, Hebrew. It means those people who crossed the Euphrates River. That's what the word means. It's not Israelite, it's Hebrew. It's not a nation of people. It's those people who crossed the river. Now, in the book of Revelation, we find that the river Euphrates, at the end of the age, and we're there, will be open. It's already been open, and all the demons of hell shall come out of that. Now, who wrote the book of Hebrews? A lot of people say they don't know. Well, first of all, God wrote the whole Bible. The Holy Spirit dictated to people. I can tell you for truth that the Apostle Paul wrote the book of Hebrews, and I'm going to explain why. Because in 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 15, Peter was writing to the Hebrews, and he said, "Our beloved brother Paul also wrote your letter." The reason a lot of people, preachers included, think that Paul didn't write this. It's so different from his other epistles. But listen to me. Paul was a Hebrew scholar. He studied under Gamaliel, the greatest Hebrew scholar. He spoke Hebrew fluently. He was Hebrew. Many of his other epistles, he had to write them in Greek, translated from Hebrew. And Paul only spoke colloquial Greek. For instance, 1 Thessalonians and 2 Thessalonians. The reason that gets so mixed up, Paul says in 2 Thessalonians, "Don't let my first letter confuse you, that Jesus is not coming until the Son of Man be revealed." And of course, the Greek had gotten him kind of messed up there. Okay, so now we have Hebrews, the fire and his firebrands.
Verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets.
Now, God the fathers, our fathers are Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, etc. God would anoint prophets and give them the Holy Spirit, and they would go and say, "Thus saith the Lord." You know them, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, Samuel, Hosea, Joel, Habakkuk, Malachi, on and on, and they would say whatever the Lord told them to say. You and I are in a much better covenant. We're under the blood covenant. After Jesus died and paid our sin debt and rose from the dead, he gave us the Holy Spirit. Now, everybody who's saved may have, if you seek it with all your heart, if you yield, you may have the fire, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit resides with you, and you don't have to have a prophet to come and tell you, "Thus saith the Lord."
Verse 2, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son.
God's Son is Yeshua, Jesus, the only begotten Son of God. Did you notice Paul said the last days? That was just a little while after Jesus ascended back to heaven. Okay? Jesus has been gone 2,000 years and some days. Well, that's just the last days, because this same Peter says in 2 Peter 3, a day with the Lord is as 1,000 years. It's just been 2 days and a half since Jesus came and went back to heaven. So we are in the last days.
Oh, he hath appointed heir of all things.
Jesus inherits everything. He owns everything. Praise the Lord.
By whom also he made the world.
By the way, Jesus created everything. By him were all things created. Hallelujah.
Verse 3. Who, being the brightness of his glory.
Now, Jesus is the very brightness of the Father's glory. Glory is the Shekinah presence of God. God is a spirit. God the Father is the Father of lights, and his Son is the light of the world. The same thing. Light, light, light.
And the express image of his person.
Okay, Jesus is the image of the invisible God. God is a spirit, but he came in the flesh, his Son. And when Jesus says, "If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. The Father and I are one." Haven't you seen a parent walking along there and holding their child, by the hand? The child looks just like the Father, the spitting image of him. Well, I don't mean this disrespectfully, but Jesus is a spitting image of the Father.
Amen. And upholding all things by the word of his power.
John 1:1, in the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God, and Jesus speaks his word, death and life, and the power of the tongue. You know why the stars and the sun and the moon don't fall down on us and disintegrate us? Jesus' words holding them up. He said, "Say," so they say. Thank you, Lord.
Amen.
When he had by himself purged all sin.
By himself. Jesus is a Passover lamb. He didn't need any help, thank you. He's the perfect sacrifice. You know, it's kind of like Jesus gave all human beings a sin laxative, and out came the sin and landed on him. He purged us from sin. Zechariah says he took off our filthy rags and gave us the robe of righteousness.
Amen. Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high.
Sat down on the right hand of the Majesty on high. Psalm 110, verse 1 verifies that. The Lord said unto my Lord, sit down at my right hand until I make thine enemies thy footstool. The right hand of power. Jesus has all power and authority in heaven and in earth.
Amen. Verse 4. Being made so much better than the angels.
Now Jesus is the Son of God. As great as angels are, he's so much better than the angels. But let's talk about the angels, because God has angels, okay? Let's talk about Gabriel. In the book of Luke, the angel Gabriel has the face of God at any time. And angel means messenger. Gabriel was sent with a messenger to Zechariah the priest. And he said, even though your wife Elizabeth is past childbearing age, you're going to have a son. He's going to be John the Baptist, and he's going to prepare the way for the Lord. 6 months later, the angel Gabriel, we're talking about angels, was sent to the Virgin Mary and said, you're going to have a baby too, but no man's involved. The power of the highest shall overshadow you, and thou shalt conceive. And that holy thing that shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God, and thou shalt call his name Jesus. So Gabriel is a messenger angel. Then we have, in Revelation 12, we have Michael, the archangel. He is a warrior angel. Because you find in Revelation 12 that Michael fought the old dragon. That was in the first earth age, 2 Peter 3, 6, and 7, the world that then was. World means age. When Lucifer rebelled, and so Michael the archangel fought against him. Also, the great book of Jude, right before Revelation, it's just one chapter, but boy, is it great. Satan was arguing and contending with Michael the archangel. Tell me where the body of Moses is buried. Michael would not do that. He said, the Lord rebuke you. And in the book of Daniel, Daniel needed help, and he prayed. And God sent Michael the archangel to fight on behalf of Daniel, but the prince of Persia delayed him there. So we've got Gabriel, who's a messenger angel. We've got Michael the archangel. Did you know that Michael the archangel is the warring, protecting angel for Israel? You say, yeah, but that's great, but we're in America. No, we're all over the place. There are 12 tribes of Israel, the Hebrew. Remember they had a spat? Two of them called themselves Judah. Some of them are in Israel, and Queen Elizabeth is on the throne there. But the other 10 tribes of Israel, okay, remember Michael's our archangel, were captured by Sennacherib. History tells us they migrated over the Caucasus Mountains, settled Europe, Ireland, Scotland, England. They had another spat, and some of those same tribes, Manasseh, Abraham's great-grandson, Joseph's son, crossed the river, Hebrew, Eber, the pond, the Atlantic Ocean, and founded these United States of America. So America, we got a great warring angel, Michael the Archangel. Now, you don't pray to him, but you ask God to help him. He knows how to beat these demons of communism, socialism, Marxism. Now, those are two good angels, but we got bad angels. In Ezekiel chapter 28 and Isaiah 14, we've got Lucifer. Ooh, he's called the Glistening One. He calls himself the Morning Star. He was so good, eons and eons and eons of time. He was beautiful beyond description. God made him the full pattern. He was anointed. He had the anointing upon him. He guarded the mercy seat. His body made music. Excuse me. He led prayer and praise and worship before he went bad. And he was wiser than Daniel. But one day he said, I will be God, and brought in sin. And so he was really bad. Now, we've also got good angels in Revelation chapter 4. They are called Zoe in the Greek and Zoon in the Hebrew. These angels guard the mercy seat all the time. The Zoe and the Zoon of Revelation 4 do not have free will. Why is that? Because God gave Lucifer free will. Look what he did. But the Zoe and the Zoon protect the mercy seat, and they love God. And they've got eyes in the front and eyes back of the head. Haven't you heard my mother's got eyes in the back of her head? They've got them all over the place. They guard that mercy seat. Nobody's going to do that again, what happened there with Lucifer then. And then we have angels who are children of God, minus the flesh. That is in Job chapter 38. God finally appeared to Job and said, Job, do you remember when the sons of God, the morning stars, sang together and shouted for joy? God was referring to the first earth age, 2 Peter 3:6 and 7, the world that then was, when all of us were with God in our spirit body. Remember Ecclesiastes 12:6 and 7. If the silver cord breaks when we kick the bucket, your spirit returns to God who gave it. And we're all shouting and praising the Lord there. So remember also when God decided to bring us all one time in the flesh to give everybody a chance one time to accept Jesus, to pay for that sin debt. He said, let us make man in our image. To whom was he talking? God is Elohim, El, God the Father, Elohim. He was talking to us, the angels, the children of God, minus the flesh, no wings there. And he said, I'm going to make your flesh body. I'm going to send you out one time. I'm going to have the second earth age so you can choose Jesus. He's coming too to pay your sin debt, or you can have the devil. And don't forget, Jesus says that in the heaven we are as the angels. Now, in Isaiah chapter 6, we have seraphims. Seraphims praise the Lord all the time. Right now in heaven, the seraphim is saying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Let's join them. Everybody, let's do it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. All over the world, let's do it. Holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. Hallelujah. I know they heard us. Okay. And then we've got cherubims. Cherubims execute the universal order. Cherubims execute God's universal order. In Revelation chapter 20, verse 12, it says, at the great white throne judgment, the books are going to be open and the book of life. Now the cherubims have to do to keep these books in order. So they execute that order. And then in Genesis 6, we've got another bad angel. They're called the fallen angels, in the Hebrew, Nephilim. These were children of God, minus the flesh, from the first earth age. They refused to come be born of women. They came on in their angelic bodies. They have been sent, as Peter says, to Tartarus. They are coming back with Satan for a little while, but they are not, will not have salvation. So there you have a whole teaching about angels. Now, we've got another great bunch of angels. We're not going to tell you about them until we get to verse 14, because that's going to help you.
As he hath by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they.
Certainly the Son of God, God is a better name than angels.
Verse 5. For unto which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee?
Not any of the angels, but in Psalm chapter 2, verse 7, God says, I will declare the decree. The Lord has said unto me, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee. He was talking to Jesus. He's the only begotten Son of God. Hallelujah.
Amen.
And again, I will be to him a father, and he shall be to me a son.
God the Father, God the Son, and these are one. The Holy Spirit, the third person of the Trinity, is God. He is the Holy Spirit of God the Father. He's the Holy Spirit of God the Son. Father, Son, Holy Spirit. And these three are one, three different offices.
Verse 6. And again, when he bringeth in the flesh the first begotten into the world.
Jesus was born in the flesh of the Virgin Mary. And of course, that's the Immaculate Birth.
He saith, and let all the angels of God worship him.
When Jesus was born, remember the Bible says the shepherds were watching over their flock, and all of a sudden the whole sky just lighted up there. All the heavenly hosts, the angels, came, and they said, glory to God in the highest. Now, let's join them. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Glory to God in the highest. Hallelujah. On earth, peace, goodwill to men.
Verse 7. And of the angels, he saith, who maketh his angels spirits.
Remember, before we were any in a flesh body, we're spirits. You're still a spirit. You're not your flesh body. You're just living in them. They are spirits. Most people do not see the angels. I've been blessed with the gift. I do see them. They're all over this place. It is awesome. And my twin friend Scott Merson has a supernatural gift. He takes pictures, and the pictures show those angels. We're going to have another one of Scott's beautiful picture presentations sometime this year, and then you can see them too. They're everywhere. They're all around. This place is filled with them.
Amen.
And his ministers are flame of fire.
A minister is a servant. If you are saved, you are supposed to be serving the Lord. But what about, he says, he makes you a flame of fire. Well, let's talk about fire here a little bit. Hebrews chapter 12, 29 says, our God is a consuming fire. Don't think about that fire in the fireplace. Our God is a consuming fire. And in the Garden of Eden, after Adam and Eve had sinned, that man Adam, through whom Jesus would come, they were seduced by that old serpent, the devil. God drove them from the garden, and he put an angel with flaming swords there so they could not get back in until Jesus would pay the sin debt. It's called the flame of Yah. So remember, God is the flame of fire. Now, in the Gospels, John the Baptist would say, there cometh one after me, the latchet of whose shoes I am not unworthy to unloose. And he will baptize you with fire. And Jesus says, I have a baptism of fire to baptize with you. If God is the fire, and if baptism means to immerse, all of his ministers, Christian, that doesn't mean you have to be in a pulpit, you are supposed to be baptized with fire. Baptism of the Holy Spirit. Now, in the book of Zechariah, any Christian who has the baptism of fire is called a fire brand. That's your brand. You're branded by God. He's a fire, and that's your brand. You know, we got Jif peanut butter. We got Peter Pan peanut butter. We got fire brand. So, how can you tell a fire brand? 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Now, if you're just a brand new Christian, it's okay. But if you've been a Christian about a year and been coming to Trumpet of Truth, you better be baptized with the fire. You better be operating in the Holy Spirit gifts. Maybe not one at the same, maybe one or two or all of them, but you would be operating them at once in a while. I have learned that there are nine of them, that whatever gift I need at the time, God gives me that. So you see, a firebrand who has the baptism of fire, and everybody's supposed to have it who's saved. If not, something's wrong. Doesn't mean you're not saved. It means you haven't yielded. You are to sizzle and crackle like fire. You sizzle with the word of knowledge. A firebrand sizzles with the word of wisdom. A firebrand sizzles with faith. A firebrand sizzles with the gift of prophecy. A firebrand sizzles with the gift of discernment of spirits. A firebrand sizzles with the gift of healing. A firebrand sizzles with the gift of the working of miracles. Hallelujah.
Amen.
A firebrand sizzles with the speaking of tongues. It is the language of the Holy Spirit. This morning, the Holy Spirit took over me when I anointed myself with oil, and he fought the devil from me, and I am not going to die but live and declare the works of
Amen.
God.
Amen.
Christians, Amen. You don't know what you're missing. You're not even seeking it. There is a language of the Holy Spirit, and boy, can he fight the devils. And a firebrand sizzled with the gift of interpretation of tongues. Now, when Jesus was training his disciples, he breathed on them with the baptism of Holy Spirit. And he said, not by might, not by power, but by thy spirit. And by that sizzling anointing, the firebrand in them, they could heal the sick, raise the dead, and cast out devils. Amen. Same thing with you. That's your firebrand. Your brand is the fire in you, on you, upon you, the name of Jesus, the fire, and you do that. Now the Antichrist is about to appear. We're on the threshold. Here's the devil with his Jesus costume on. He's going to call himself Messiah, Theosarchum. But to make you think, and he's going to deceive the world and half the body of Christ, Matthew 25, the five foolish virgins, to make you think he's the real fire, he's going to call down fire from heaven. But it's strange fire. It's cheap fabric imitation. It's not the real thing. Thank God his time's been short for the elect's sake, Mark 13 to 5 months, Revelation 9. And then at the seventh trump, the Lord Jesus, the real fire, our God's a consuming fire, is coming. And Jesus is coming with a cup of wrath in his hand. He's going to pour it out, and the elements will burn with fervent heat. You say, oh my Lord, we're all going to burn up. Elements in the Greek means rudiments. The false teaching shall be burned with fire.
Amen. Amen.
God, Jesus, Emmanuel with us, is the fire. Are you his firebrand? I pray you are blessed.
Amen.
Let me introduce to you the owner of the Produce Place, man of God, my twin friend, Scott Merson. How are you, Scott?
I'm doing very well, Miss Sherry. It was an awesome message. He was on fire.
I was on fire. That's right. I got the firebrand there. Well, David left his stuff in the car. Ezekiel put his stuff in the bag. What is Scott's stuff?
Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. Colossians 1:12.
Absolutely perfect. Saints of light. There we go. Yep. Your firebrand's also your light. You're the light of the world. Thank you, Scott. Great, Scott. Before I pray for healing, if you're not saved, pray this prayer with me and mean it, and God will save you right now. Let's go. Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
Father, in Jesus' name, I confess I have sinned.
I repent of all my sins.
I repent of all my sins.
I turn from them.
I turn from them.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I believe in my heart that God raised Jesus from the dead.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
I ask forgiveness for all my sins.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Please wash them away with the blood of Jesus.
Baptize me with the fire of Holy Spirit.
Baptize me with the fire of the Holy Spirit.
Grow me in the Word.
Grow me in the Word.
And use me.
And use me.
To be a firebrand.
To be a firebrand.
To be a light.
To be a light.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
To bring many souls to Jesus.
Amen. 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 Now, for those of you in cyberspace, confession is made to salvation. You need to tell someone. In a little while, Scott's going to give you my telephone number. I invite you to call me. I leave that message on my voicemail. When I get it, I will certainly pray for you. And now I'm going to pray for the sick. I want to equip you to overcome sickness. I've been through everything. Here's what I've learned. If you know the devil did it to you, you can't just say, oh, boo-hoo. You've got to put on your boxing gloves. You don't go on the defensive, oh, don't kill me. You go on the offensive, knock them out, knock them out, knock them out. You have to fight, fight, fight. You anoint yourself with oil. You say the word of God. You pray in the language of spirit. And you don't give up until you get the victory in Jesus' mighty name.
Yep.
Been there, done that. Amen. Same thing for you. Precious Father, in the name and the power of Jesus, you said to those who fear your name, the Son of Righteous will arise with healing in your wings. Lord, for everyone who fears your name, O Son of Righteous, arise. O the wings of the laser beams of light, the light Jesus Christ. Let that light Knock out that thing that's not supposed to be there. Move it out. Move out the hernia. Move out the cancer. Move out the deafness. Move out the blindness. Move out the macular disease. Move out the arthritis. Move out the glaucoma. Move out the diabetes. Remove blood clots. Remove all these tumors. Remove, remove, remove. Move them out. Knock them out. And let that same light repair and heal. Restore. Anything missing? Let there be a new part there created by the Son of Righteousness, the Lord Jesus creates all things. Anything broken, let it be mended. Anything weak, make it strong. Anything wounded, repair it. Anything crooked, make it straight. In the name and the power of Jesus, be healed. He sent his word and healed you and delivered you from your destructions. With Jesus' stripes, you're healed. Now pick up your bed and walk and fight, fight, fight. Don't you go on the defensive. Say the word of God, anoint with oil, pray in the Holy Spirit, and you'll get your victory in Jesus' mighty name. And we all say,
I agree in Jesus' name.
Nothing's given you to keep, so go and tell. The Lord bless you. The Lord keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you, be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. This is your second best friend in the whole wide world. You don't know it, but I am. My name is Sherry Medlock. But your best friend is Jesus. I love you with all my heart. And I'm looking forward to the next time we get together as the family of God to hear the joyful sound of
the trumpet of truth.
Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. God bless you, America. This is Sherry Medlock of Trumpet of Truth, inviting every Christian in America, right where you are, to please join me on Sunday, April 3rd, for America's Day of Repentance and Praise in view of 2 Chronicles 7:14. God's word is true, and he says, if my people call by my name, that's we, the Christian people of America, all 50 states, will humble ourselves and pray and seek God's face, not his hand, but his face, and turn from our wicked ways, repent of our self-centeredness, our greed, our narcissism. God promises he will hear from heaven, he'll forgive our sins, and heal our land. He will heal America. I want to ask every Christian leader in America, wherever your platform is, pastors, politicians, radio, television, internet, social media, Christian organizations, will you that day please, anytime on that Sunday, April 3rd, gather your flock together and lead them to pray and then do 2 Chronicles 7:14. Call out the sins of the church by name. And I want to ask you then, after you repent with your flock there, wherever you are, your own platform there, please lead your congregation to praise, because Psalm 22 says God inhabits the praises of his people. I do ask you, please, don't make this a show. Don't let anybody get famous or advertise their agenda about this. Let's be humble here and meek about this. Prostrate, if possible, on the floor, metaphorically in sackcloth and ashes. You might want to wear red, white, and blue. I do encourage everybody, all of America, wherever you are, to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance, and then let's all sing the Star Spangled Banner, which is the national anthem for America, the national anthem for red, yellow, brown, black, and white. Now, if the Holy Spirit's nudging you to participate, you might want to let me know. So here's someone who can let you know. He's my prayer partner, my twin friend, man of God, Scott Merson. Take it away, Scott.
Yes, you can reach or contact Sherry at Sherry Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com. That would be SHARI Medlock, Trumpet of Truth, @gmail.com.
Thank you so much, Scott. God bless you, America. I love you with all my heart. Let's do this. Let's make America one nation under God through Jesus Christ, our Lord. We all say, I agree in Jesus' name.
For listening
Amen.
To Trumpet of Truth with Sherry Medlock. Sherry invites you to call her for prayer at 321-632-4631. Again, 321-632-4631. We can't wait until next week at the same time when you join us and hear the joyful sound of the Trumpet of Truth.
He calms the storm so that its waves are still. Hear the sound? On WMIE 91.5 FM.
When the mountains look so big.
We've waited for this day. We're gathered in your name, calling out to you. Your glory like a fire, awakening desire, will burn our hearts with truth. You're the reason we're here. You're the reason we're singing. Open up the heavens, we want to see you. Open up the floodgates, a mighty river flowing from your heart, filling every part of our praise.
Your love, how high.
Brevard County's Praise and Worship Station. Your radios are tuned in to WMIE 91.5 FM.
Dear younger me, where do I start? If I could tell you everything that I have learned so far, then you could be one step ahead of all the painful memories still running through my head. I wonder how much different things would be, dear younger me. Do I give some speech about how to get the most out of your life? Or do I go deep and try to change the choices that you'll make? Cause they're the choices that made me. And even though I love this crazy life, sometimes I wish it was a smoother ride, dear young. Me, it's not your fault. You never meant to carry this beyond the cross. No. Dear young man, you are holy, you are righteous, you are one of the redeemed. Set apart a brand new heart. Oh, you are free indeed. And every mountain,
this is Brevard's Praise and Worship Station, WMIE, Coco, Melbourne, Titusville, FM 91.5.
When you lose the ability to dream about a better tomorrow, you just ruined your today because you lose hope.
Dr. Tony Evans says hope is more than just a wish. It's a God-given guarantee.
You're not a loser. You are more than a conqueror because God has a dream of a glorious future for you.
This is The Alternative with Dr. Tony Evans, author, speaker, senior pastor of Oak Cliff Bible Fellowship in Dallas, Texas, and president of The Urban Alternative. A dream can be powerful enough to set a whole new direction for our lives, if we don't allow discouragement to crush it. Today, Dr. Evans takes a look at the amazing difference it makes when we dream God's dreams and start seeing them come true. Let's join him.
It was on August 20th. 8th, 1963, that the greatest speech of the 20th century was given by a king, Martin Luther King. And what was great about the speech was not only the eloquence of the spokesperson, his ability to craft words in an impactful yet concise way. But what made it what is arguably the greatest public speech of that century was, at the core of it, was a speech about a dream. It was a dream about a different kind of America. It was a dream about a place where the content of one's character would be more important than the color of one's skin. The thing I remember most was how he took the vision that he had expressed for America and then stepped it up and said that his eyes had seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. Now, once he did that, he moved it from a social speech to a spiritual speech. What he sought to do unapologetically was root the dream, the vision, into the program and purposes of God. What Dr. King said was, I see something. I see the coming of the Lord, that is, his glory, his plan, his program. So I'm dreaming now based on something I see. There's nothing like seeing the future and adjusting the present in light of it. There's nothing like peering out to tomorrow and then beginning to implement it today because you see it. Woe is the individual, is the person who doesn't see anything. Because when you don't see anything, you lose hope. When you lose the ability to dream about a better tomorrow, you just ruined your today because you lose hope. On that occasion, in 1963, one king down here saw another king up there. In an attempt to root a vision for a better country, in this case, racially speaking, to the plans and programs of God. So when Coretta Scott King passed, and that moved to the forefront of my mind, and since it involved a dream, my mind went to Revelation chapter 5. Because in Revelation chapter 5, we get to peer into the future. And if your eyes and my eyes can see the glory of the coming of the Lord, then perhaps it will affect a better today while we look forward to and await the awesome tomorrow that God has in store for us. While the book of Revelation speaks about the future in the glorious culmination of history as it bleeds into eternity, it also functions as a mirror for how we are to function now in light of the glorious tomorrow that we await. He says in the two verses I want to focus on, and they sang a new song, verse 9 says, saying, worthy are you to take the book and to break its seal, for you were slain and purchased for God with your blood men from every tribe, every tongue, and people and nation. And you have made them to be a kingdom and priests to our God, and they will reign upon the earth. Now, God says that this is the glorious tomorrow to which we are headed. We are headed toward a day when the recognition of the rulership of Jesus Christ will be worldwide, and where his people will sing his praises and serve alongside of him in the ruling of this planet. This vision of a better tomorrow is supposed to be being mirrored today through his unique group of people, Christians, those who make up the Church of Jesus Christ. The first thing he did was announce a celebration. He says, they sang a new song. This is a context of worship, of celebration, of praise, but we're told that it was a new song. A new song comes when your world is falling apart and every day looks dark and God breaks through and removes the clouds, makes the sun shine again, reverses the situation, and you break out in a song. It's a new song because you've seen a brand new intervention of God into your circumstances. Bible says when Israel crossed the Red Sea, they sang a new song. Why? Because God had done a new thing. One of the things I'm looking forward to happening in so many lives this year, all year long, is a whole bunch of singing of a new song. A new song that comes out of a victory that God has brought to bear in your world and in your life. No reason that everybody sometime this year oughtn't be singing a new song. You say, but I can't sing. No, you don't understand. When you've been delivered, you can sing. So while we have to wait to see the full expression of the earth-wide vision of the rule of God through Jesus Christ, what you and I get to do now in principle is still sing a new song. Because since he is worthy and since he's in you, then you get to act on his behalf in history to see some of your dreams come true. One of our problems, why we don't get to sing a new song as much as we ought to sing a new song, is that we don't understand what it means to be paid for, to be owned by another. Jesus Christ is declaring that his blood owns you, and if you would just let him own you, that is, dominate your will, dominate your purposes, dominate your plans. If you would just let him own you, you would see how good he could take care of you. God's dream, if you will, is that Jesus Christ be everything. In fact, let me read to you Ephesians chapter 1, reads like this. With a view to an administration suitable to the fullness of times, that is, the summing up of all things in Christ, things in heaven and things on earth. In him also we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose who works all things after the counsel of his will. He says in verse 10 that God's goal is the summing up of all things in Christ. That's God's dream. So if that's God's dream, if you want to see the coming of the Lord, that's got to be your dream too. That is, your life's dream must be to bring all aspects of my being under the authority of Jesus Christ. Without that dream, you can't see the coming of the Lord, because that's God's dream. And he gives us a picture of it happening in heaven. This picture of heaven that's supposed to be mirrored on earth, thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven,